Did someone sit in your pew today? You know, people at the other service, sometimes they sit in your pew. I hope that's okay with everyone. But now you get to know who they are. You get to make friends with them. That's fantastic. Well, today's Bible story has a character straight out of the mythology books. I'll give you a few hints, okay? First, he was the storm god. He flew above the clouds. His followers believed that he had power over thunder and lightning and rain. He had long hair and a long beard, and he wore a helmet with horns on either side. And in his left hand, he held a bolt of lightning, and in his right hand, he held a magical weapon, usually a club. Any guesses? It might sound like I'm talking about Thor, the Norse storm god. I even found one where he's got the lightning in the left hand and the hammer in the right. Over the past 7 years, Disney Studios has made more than $2 billion in movies featuring Thor, the storm god of the Norwegians. That is a lot of money on a god that people don't believe in anymore. But for some reason, Americans are still fascinated, right, by storm gods that sweep out of the clouds and destroy their enemies. There's something about that Americans still love today. What I was actually talking about, though, was not Thor. I was talking about Baal, who was the storm god of the Canaanites. And he had the long beard, and he had the helmet with the horns on either side, and he held the lightning bolt, and he held the club that I'm talking about. And Baal, and by the way, it's okay to say Baal, it's okay to say Baal, it's okay to say Baal. I'm going to say Baal because that's what my Old Testament professor did back in seminary, and I'm trying to imitate him. So Baal, that's what I'm going to say. I think he's probably right. So I'm going to go with what he said. You know what? Baal is not worthy of our respect enough to get it right. Just do it any way you want. Okay? Don't worry about hurting his feelings. Say it any way you like. But Baal, he's like the superhero of the Canaanites. They believed that Baal would save them from drought and famine. They believed that Baal had the power to make them rich, to make them powerful, to make it rain. That's what they thought Baal was about. Now, in today's story, as ably read for us a moment ago, you even made the funny parts funny. Thank you. No, I'm serious. That was good. In today's story, many Israelites, they're worshiping Baal too. And this is a time and a place when people felt totally comfortable worshiping multiple gods at the same time. But people were leaving Yahweh, the God of Israel, the one true God, in order to worship Baal in hopes that he was going to make it rain water and make it rain money in their pockets. And the really disturbing part was that the Israelites were sacrificing their babies, sacrificing their own children on the altars of this false god. Elijah, in today's scripture, demands that the Israelites make a choice. Either they could worship Yahweh, the God of creation, or they could worship this make-believe superhero, Baal. This was not a time for compromise. Babies were dying, the prophets of Yahweh were being slaughtered, and there had not been rain in the land for 3 years. Now was not the time for compromise. Now was the time to make a choice. Let's hear the rest of the story about how God saved Israel from false gods and really did make it rain. From 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 30 through 39. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." And they came to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. And he arranged the wood, and he cut the bowl into pieces, and he laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me, so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and they cried, "Yahweh is God. Yahweh is God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just as Elijah predicted, there had been no rain for 3 years. The drought alone should have proved that Baal had no power over thunder, over lightning, and over rain. But King Ahab decided it was Elijah's fault. It was his fault because he blasphemed against Baal. And so he was going to kill Elijah, sacrifice one more prophet of Yahweh to his demonic god. And that would solve the problem. Elijah risked his life in today's story in order to propose a contest. Your God against mine. Your storm God versus the God of Israel, Yahweh, creator of the world. Whoever sent lightning to consume a sacrificial bull would be declared the true God. Now, this is an unfair competition. First of all, Baal was given home field advantage on top of Mount Carmel. I'm taking 28 people to visit Mount Carmel in about 9 days, okay? And you can ask any of the people that went on this trip when they get back if this is true. They will verify it for me. But Mount Carmel, it seems like the place where you would sacrifice to a fertility god like Baal. Okay? It seems like the place. It looks over this beautiful Jezreel Valley. You'll see it for yourself in just a couple days here. This beautiful Jezreel Valley, it's a fertile land, but it demands water, and it'll be dry as tinder without that water. And what's more, when you're on top of that mountain, if the lightning starts going in all directions, you could see it below you, you could see it above you, you'd see it right next to you. It looks like the kind of place where you would make a sacrifice to a lightning god, to a thunder god. Also, Mount Carmel's way up north in Israel, near the border where Queen Jezebel had imported the worship of Baal. So having the competition on Mount Carmel is a little bit like the Seahawks playing in the Super Bowl against the Patriots at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. It's not fair. And much like the Patriots, there's a lot of cheating in today's story. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, There's cheating in today's story. Let me tell you about the cheating. Elijah was all by himself against 450 prophets of Baal. Does that sound fair to you? What's more, they brought along their buddies, 400 prophets of Asherah. Remember, all the other gods in that world, they're okay having gods that are their friends, their partners, whatever. Only the God of Israel said, no, you have to choose me or not at all. So 950 prophets versus Elijah. Does that sound fair to you? Not even Bill Belichick would do that. That is just not fair. Elijah was given, or he gave the prophets of Baal the first chance at praying for fire. Elijah gave the prophets of Baal the first choice over the sacrificial bull. Elijah gave the prophets of Baal the opportunity to pray and dance all day. And that's what they did. All day long, they took up the entire time, leaving Yahweh just a little bit of time before the sun went down to do something miraculous. Elijah proved that it wasn't a fair competition by having 12 large jars of water dumped on his firewood. Have you ever made a fire with damp firewood? The water was pouring out of the trough. This is not a fair competition. The deck was stacked in the storm god's favor. Remember, they're asking for lightning, okay? The deck is stacked in favor of Baal, the lightning god of the Canaanites, just to prove that this god is a joke. There's only one God who actually is real, Yahweh. I like how Elijah entertained himself by taunting the competition. Shout louder, the prophet Elijah proclaimed around noon. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. Now, I got to tell you, sometimes our English translations of the Bible are just too polite. If you ask a rabbi, if you ask a Hebrew scholar how to best translate the word busy in today's text, you know the best translation? Using the restroom. No, I'm serious. Sometimes our English translations are too polite. They're like, well, we're just going to change that so it's not so rude. No, Elijah's trash talking here. Do you miss Richard Sherman? Elijah did it better. Elijah does it better. Maybe your God's off using the bathroom right now. Let me tell you about my God. He doesn't do that. Let me tell you about my God. He's always available to hear my prayers. The prophet Elijah shows zero respect for the thunder god of the Canaanites. Then, just as the sun was about to set, Elijah prepared his sacrifice in this pool of water, and he prayed, "Answer me, Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." And then, boom, came the lightning. And it consumed the bull. And it consumed that soaking wet firewood. And it consumed the rocks. And it consumed the soil. And all that water, poof, was gone. And the people got on their knees. And in the Hebrew it says, Yahweh is God. Yahweh is God. No more thunder gods. No more false idols. We worship Yahweh. Now, the question is, why would the Israelites abandon Yahweh? Why would they sacrifice their babies to a false idol in the first place? I say it's for the same reason that anyone ever abandons God, they got a better deal. They thought they got a better deal. The prophets of Baal promised fertile crops. They promised great wealth. They claimed to control the weather with their blood sacrifices. Baal worship is just another word for materialism. I know we feel like we're a long way from Baal worship. We're not that far. It's just another name for materialism. It is the diabolical belief that if you have enough crops, if you have enough money, that you can control your own destiny. Baal worship is not too different from the paganism that afflicts us today. That what's in our wallet, that's what's in our bank account, is what we really worship. Jesus alludes to today's story in the Sermon on the Mount. You could go to Matthew chapter 6 if you want to take a peek at this. Jesus was preaching about 900 years after Elijah's showdown on Mount Carmel. And just as Norwegians gave up worship of Thor about 900 years ago, the Jews had given up worship of Baal, you know, as well, 900 years later. But while the names had changed, the issue remained the same. The Jewish people were still struggling with materialism. They were still struggling with, if I just have enough money, if I just had a little bit more, then I would be safe. Then I would be in control. Then everything would be just fine. So Jesus gives his audience the exact same choice that Elijah gives us in today's story on Mount Carmel with the Israelites. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. This is Matthew 6:24, if you're following along in your Bibles. Matthew 6:24. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the others, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let's say that together, shall we? You cannot serve God and money. In the King James Version of the Bible, Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. People thought that it was a pagan idol. They thought mammon was a prince of hell. They thought mammon was another name for Baal. Okay? Truth is, mammon was just the Jewish word, the Hebrew word for money. It had no negative meaning at all when Jesus preached his sermon. None. No negative meaning at all. Jesus is the one that says, no, 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 no. Your great temptation, it's not pagan idols. Your great temptation is making money more important than God. Jesus was the one to first help us see that the love of money is the root of all evil. Even pagan idolatry roots back to this materialism. These days, no one of us would ever sacrifice our children to Baal. But sometimes, if we are not careful, we might miscommunicate to our children that it's money that makes the world go round, not God that makes the world go round. That is our struggle today, that we sacrifice our children to this idea that if you just get a good college education, if you just get a good job, if you just do it right financially, you're going to have it made for life. We have to be careful that we don't accidentally sacrifice our children on the altars of materialism. We have to point them to God first and only. On Wall Street, there is an 18-foot statue of a charging bull. Have anyone seen this? Anyone seen this charging bull on Wall Street or seen the image of it in the paper? Yeah, the artist Arturo de Modica. Isn't that a funny name for an artist, Arturo? I love that. That's a great name. Arturo de Modica, right before Christmas in 1989, he just donated this huge statue right in front of the New York Stock Exchange. No one asked him for it. He just dumped it on the street, on Wall Street. Here you go. Here's my gift for you, this image of a bull. Now, according to the traders on Wall Street, a bull market means what? Stocks are going up. And then there's a bear market, and that means what? Stocks are going right. Okay. After he donates this bull, they say, hey, Arturo, do us a favor. Make a bear to go along with the bull. You know what he said? Neither do I. I need to look it up. He said, I told him I was not going to do that. The bear means the market goes down, but I wanted to represent the city getting bigger, stronger, faster. So there is a bull. There is no bear. For almost 30 years, the bear has been charging on Wall Street. New York City authorities moved the bull away from the stock exchange, but the bull still ended up near Wall Street. The bull was covered in soot during 9/11. Police surrounded the bull during the Occupy Wall Street movement. And whenever the market is going down, people ask the artist. They ask Arturo DeMatica, why isn't the bull working? The artist tells him, I tell them he's resting. He's tired. He'll get back to it soon. Does that sound familiar? He's resting, he's tired, he'll get back to it soon. Does that sound familiar to you? I'm sure he's kidding, but that kind of talk should disturb anyone who reads their Bible. Moses warned the Hebrews not to make graven images. Moses warned the Hebrews not to worship other gods. And then Moses discovered all of his people worshiping what? A golden calf. The Canaanites believed that their god Baal rode a bull. The later idolatry in the Old Testament shows that they were making bull statues like this as associations with Baal worship. Not that Baal was the bull, but he rode the bull. And so if you make a bull like this, the idea is that you're inviting Baal to come on down, to sit on the bull like a throne. And when he comes down, he's going to bring fertility. And when he comes down, he's going to bring wealth. And when he comes down, you will finally have enough. It's the invitation for Baal to come on down and to make it rain. On March 7th, 2017, a new statue was installed on Wall Street. It's called Fearless Girl. Have you seen this? She's a 250-pound statue that was put directly in front of the 7,000-pound charging bull. Fearless Girl is the name of the statue, and she has her arms on her hips. And the artist, Kristen Visbol, says, I made sure to keep her features soft. She's not defiant. She's brave, proud, and strong, not belligerent. The bull artist, Arturo DeMatica, was infuriated, saying that the fearless girl distorts his symbol of prosperity and strength into a villain. I think that the real issue is that the girl is challenging this pagan notion that this good luck charm of a bull is actually making a difference on Wall Street. I think it disrupts this pagan idea that if you build the right thing, that's going to rain. And we're all going to get rich. Fearless Girl is just another silly graven image. But I appreciate how she threatens our modern idolatry of money. Fearless Girl reminds me of Elijah's courage as he took on the 450 prophets of Baal. And Fearless Girl reminds me that the courage that Jesus demonstrated when he told his followers, you have to make a choice. You can either serve God or you could serve money. Pick one. The mayor of New York recently declared that Fearless Girl and Charging Bull are going to move back to the New York Stock Exchange All I can say is that those lumps of metal cannot make it rain. They can do nothing but decorate our streets. You can either serve God or you can serve money. If we are not careful, we will turn our wallets, we will turn our purses, we will turn our bank accounts, we will turn our pensions, we will turn our children and their dreams into false idols. I say to you that one very effective way to undermine the love of money is to give 10% back to God. Now, that might seem impossible to you. Fine. If you've been giving 3%, maybe next year you could commit to giving 4% to say, God is my God, not money. If you've been giving 10% for the last 50 years, maybe next year is the year that you decide to give 11% or 12%. Look, there's no magic in the number. The point is, who has authority over your wallet? Is it God or is it me? I would say to you that either God owns your wallet or your wallet owns you. Say that with me. Either God owns your wallet or your wallet owns you. The truth is, everything we possess is on loan from God. Every good gift is a gift from God. It is an act of God to take what we have been given and give it back, to serve God, to trust Him, to use it in this world for His purposes. Trust in God to give you enough, and trust in God to return your wealth back to God for His purposes in this world. Amen.